Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
An Erios original.
Tell me something, girl. Are you busy trying to bear that void?
What's that?
I'm falling.
Who is
and
it?
In the good times, I feel myself longing for change.
Who is it?
Shallow bitch.
What's shallow bitch?
A Star Is Born.
This is Kate Berlant that we're talking to. She does stand-up comedy. If you don't know who she is, Google her, because I don't want to do a whole, this is who this person is, no. And this is what they do. Which, because
if you don't know now, you never will.
Right. And I don't want to talk about what people do for a living, because it defeats kind of the purpose of this podcast, because it's like.
Please. I've been a comic to watch for 15 years.
It's just like, it's not about what you do. It's about who you are and what you do. You are, this is just a notch. This is just the beginning of the documentary.
Thank
about
you.
Kate's
Great.
Life. Okay.
Perfect.
So, and this podcast will be in the documentary probably because it's like.
Yeah, and we're filming.
A cornerstone, milestone. Anyway, what I want to know about you, Kate, and what I think other people want to know, and the reason why we have to have famous people like you on the show so that we get listeners.
Wow.
Which is like, imagine. I'm like anti-fame. Like, I think that's like the new, that's like one of my new hobbies is like staying underground.
Well, then I'm the perfect guest.
But I want to know what you do in your life that it's purely for joy. There's no agenda. There's no money involved. There's no like, this is going to make me a better performer, so I'm doing it. Or this will help me like network, or like this can make me a better writer.
Right.
I mean, except for reading, but we also read for pleasure. So yeah. I'm not going to count that. So I use hobby as sort of like a big term.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
I love that. This is, and by the way, it's very appropriate that I'm talking to you about this today. Because this is like a huge, I'm actually going through this right now in my life where I'm trying to be like, what the hell do I do that isn't tied to, you know, capitalism, careerism,
right.
Prestige.
Yeah. Money, property, prestige. And.
Well, I do buy property for fun. But aside from that, I own land as a joke. But no,
that's what I mean by like filling the void. It's like, what do we fill the hole in our heart with that makes us happy? I mean, sometimes it is career and
the
money.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is the work, but it doesn't
have
lasting power, I find.
Hmm.
In terms of me filling my own hole.
Right.
It doesn't fill me up with self-esteem sperm.
Yeah.
And I don't give birth to a spiritual baby when I fill my hole with the work.
Yeah. What spackles my hole?
Yeah.
Well, okay, I have a question. Do you, because listeners, sweet listeners, before we started, I was talking about how I took social media off my phone.
Right.
Because that is my only life and hobby. It's horrifying internet addiction. And lately I've been so aware of just how it's completely ravaged my focus where whatever. So the point is.
No, but I'm curious. Yeah. Like, is it about.
It's the aimless scrolling.
Aimless scrolling, not just your own stuff.
No.
You're just scrolling like looking at funny videos, looking at other people's lives? Do you get FOMO?
Right, right. I don't. Well, what's interesting is that I don't think of myself at, okay, I could talk about this forever, but A, I look at, like I follow food accounts, right? And I'll be like, ooh, recipes. Like, that's where I really can, like, go down the hole. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, well, this is productive. Like, I'm, because cooking is, like, probably, like, my only hobby, maybe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, oh, yeah, looking at this. And then, of course, I muted almost, like, everyone I know.
Mm-hmm.
Because.
On Twitter?
On Instagram.
You can mute people?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
I muted most people because people who I love, who I or know, and I'm like, they're great. We've all lost our minds. So we post, like, I don't want to ridicule people in my mm-hmm. mind that I mm-hmm. know or that I kind of know or who have, are like perfectly fine people. Mm-hmm. But you can't help it when you look at people, and I'm guilty of this. We all are. I'm like, you look at someone post and they're like, oops, I did it again. And it's like them.
And
like
you're hating on your own friends.
And you're just like, it can so easily just create this like, what the hell is wrong with you? Do you have no one in your life who could, like it does the instrument of social media creates ridicule, anxiety, you know, all of these emotions. It's you know, and I can be like, oh, it's a way to keep touch with people and see right. what they're up to. It's like, no, it's not.
Right. It's so actually, you quit it because it was making you feel like so negative.
Yeah. It was kind of this low level, and it wasn't that overwhelming. It wasn't so overwhelming that I was like, oh, this is really toxic. Cause I was like, no, I'm not looking at this and getting like horrifically jealous or comparing my life. But I just get in my head because I'm like, oh, wow, I used to be fucking smart. I'm like, oh, I used to read.
Right.
I used to, like, think. And now, and I think because I'm already an anxious, obsessive person, it's really easy for me to just completely go there. And any moment that used to be filled with just, like, maybe staring, just, like, literally just, like, looking out a window. Right. Now, like, has to be filled with the scrolling. And
right. Just, like, you're saying you don't, like, daydream because you have this no. thing in your hand.
And
like,
I mean, I think it's truly evil. I mean, it's, like, behavior modification is what these you know, like, social media. It's, like, huge corporations.
Right.
Hijacking our lives.
Yeah.
And modifying behavior. It's just about highlighting people as consumers, and not even getting into like surveillance and all that. I just think it's like truly like a pox, like yeah. it's actual cancer. And it's so depressing. And I just like, I have to like change my life because it's just so sad. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be on my deathbed. Like, I remember this one scroll I did.
Right.
Like, it's like, no. And I think some people, maybe there is a way to have a healthy interaction with it, but for me, and I've gone months where I don't look at it, and I really enjoy that, but then when I'm back, I'm just fully back. I have to figure out how I can just like promote shows, do right. the bare minimum that like is kind of necessary.
Yeah,
but then beyond that, I gotta get out of there.
So interesting to me. I find it very overwhelming.
Yeah.
And so
your daughter's account is the only account that actually brings me positivity and joy.
And it's like, that's so nice, but it's like, oh, well, you can also just come over and see her whenever you want.
Of course, of course.
That's nice of you to say, but even I have an account, an Instagram account for Mary, for family.
One. Yeah.
Because my family is far away and so is Paul, and it just is easy.
It's like how I keep track of my cousin's kids and everything, yeah.
But it still isn't like, I don't want to brag when I say that I'm not addicted to social media.
I believe you. I honestly believe you.
But I'm not. I'm still on it. And it's like, the question is also like, why can't, like, I remember Amy Poehler was once like, you guys are still on these fucking social media things. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And it was like, why am I still on it? Promoting my brand? I don't know what that means, and I don't know if I have one, and who cares? Like, I don't know if anybody cares. Like, I'm not.
Well, it's just like, how do you, like, you're a creative person, you're very productive. It's like, yeah, making work, but now that's bled so far into this, like, you know, like the commodification of personality. And it's like, how do I, like, right. this, like, urge to brand, which is like, oh my God, it just
doesn't have anything to do. I mean, I'm saying this as like my Instagram account, and maybe not so much with Twitter because it's actually writing, but like, I don't know, my Instagram account, I don't think it has anything to do with what I'm capable of doing as a writer.
Yeah.
Like, it just is so.
Right, right, right.
It's like what I wear on a certain day, like, is so, doesn't mean anything in terms of like how I can get to work. But that's not, I don't think that's what you're saying. It's, I think it's toxic, especially when it comes to what I started this podcast today. And we don't need to go down this road, but like Rosie O'Donnell wrote this book a couple years ago called Celebrity Detox. And she wrote about how fame is also an addiction. Mm-hmm. And I really think it is. And I really think that social media enables all of that. And it gets to this point where people, like so many people are famous. And it almost makes fame irrelevant. Because I don't know.
Totally.
Which is fine with me, but it does make me want to, it makes me a lot less interested in that and what other famous people are doing. Like people who have a bajillion, gajillion followers on YouTube and they're YouTube famous. And I don't even know anything about that world. And
oh God, I mean, talk about like the most vile segment of culture and society.
Right.
It is like inextricably linked, or I can't help but link it to this like horrifying world that we're in yeah. is what, right, and then it immediately makes me sound like I'm 460, but that's, like I don't care,
that's fine,
like,
yeah,
but I just feel like
I think old is the new young.
Oh my God. And offline is the new online,
right?
And by the way, I will stop talking about this soon because it is like boring, like ultimately, like I want to talk to you about this, but it's not boring because I mean, I'm truly like, we need a revolution. We need like in huge amounts to get off these social media platforms. Yeah.
You said what? We need huge what?
We need huge. I already forgot. We need a huge amount of people to like get off social media because totally. You actually kind of can't do it alone. Well,
that's why Trump is president. It's because of Twitter. It's because people,
you're not going to bring down Trump on Twitter. Like Trump is Twitter.
Trump is
like,
Twitter. He's Voldemort. Yeah. Everybody just kept saying his name. It manifested like fears or wishes.
Well, I just mean like lately I really have been thinking, particularly as I like try to take social media off my life. Okay, I've done a couple times where I do like a month where I don't look at Twitter or Instagram once. I just completely don't look at it. And what's always so fascinating to me is I immediately don't care. Don't miss it. I would think that I'd be like, oh, like really craving it. I just don't. It feels like a relief.
Right.
And it's easy. Ultimately, and then you go back and you're like, oh right, I haven't missed anything. What's that? Who said
that? You
just
take the app off your phone, or you?
I delete it. Like I don't look at it on my on my desktop computer either. Like
right,
I just,
so your accounts are still there.
They exist, but I just like they're I deactivated Facebook.
Right.
I mean, a long time ago.
Right.
I still go on sometimes, like promote like ticket sales for shows out of town or whatever. But yeah, I just take it off my phone, and like right now, I can access Twitter and Instagram on my laptop, but. If it's not on your phone, you're just automatically looking at it so much less.
So right now, those apps are not on your phone.
No.
So what have you been filling that void with?
Tracking my period on my phone. No, I just like, okay.
Because
so
is it the
I'm
phone
like,
that's the problem or is it social media?
It's social media. Because okay. If I'm not looking at social media, my phone just automatically, it's like, oh, I'm texting. I'm like, what? Looking at emails. Like, it's just
right.
So different. So I was actually going to ask you because does like hiking count?
Of course.
Okay, great. So I actually today went on my second solo hike of my entire life.
Okay. Oh, solo.
Yeah.
That's nice.
And I'm like, that's my new thing.
Do you want it? Like, do you want it to be your new thing? Or are you like, I'm so excited that this is my new thing?
It feels very good to me. Because
really?
Also, I don't naturally love being alone, hence the performer.
Mm-hmm. I don't naturally love standing.
Like I'm
let
like
alone walking.
Yeah. I'm just like I'm truly kind of an extrovert in the sense that I relax around people. Mm. Like of course I enjoy time alone, but I enjoy it in tiny bursts where I'm about to get lunch with a friend.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right,
like
right.
Like I really don't, and that's something that I want to like of course investigate. I also don't want to overly investigate it. It's like it's fine. Like I'm it's
right.
not like I'm like like
right.
it's just like yeah. I'm an only child. I spent plenty of time like looking in the mirror alone in my room growing up and it was great.
Right.
But like now I'm like, where's my friends? You know?
That's so funny. I spent so much time looking in the mirror when I was younger. I taught myself how to do this.
Oh yeah.
I just made like a little flower curly thing
and
with
then
my
I did
tongue.
It back at her.
I was
lip syncing
in the mirror That's all I did. That's so
Is
funny.
Is it lip syncing or lip singing?
It's lip sync, like syncing up. But
lip singing?
It should be lip singing.
I've always said lip singing.
That's fine. I think that it should be that.
Okay, well, I call it lip singing.
Okay.
And I would lip sing in the mirror. And
try so hard to to make it in my brain. I'd be
which
like,
I still do.
I'm Tiffany.
I right? still do it in the mirror. And I'm like 2 inches from the mirror, yeah. like looking deep. And I'm like, you are incredible.
Yeah.
So
today was your second solo hike.
Yeah.
How long do these hikes last?
Today was actually 2 hours because I just got kind of like, and how long by the way, it's not like it's like rigorous for 2 hours. It's like hard for maybe 20 minutes. And then it's kind of just like, oh.
When did you go on the first hike?
Okay, well, famously right before the big rainstorm we just got here in LA. So I went on my first hike maybe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Oh, the rainstorm was yesterday.
No, the other one.
Oh.
Okay, well. There was rain. Okay. And so I went on the hike and I was like, this is my new life. I found Christ. I was like, this is incredible. And I was like, I can't wait to get back on the trail. And then rain for like a straight week. And then I was like, well, it's muddy. I can't go out there. It's muddy, folks.
Mm. Ever hear of
shoes,
raincoat, boots, umbrella? Just saying.
That's not my hike.
Right.
No. No. And so I actually do need to get hiking boots, and I would love anyone to send them to me.
That's one of the questions that I like to ask people is, what do you wear during your hobby?
Yeah.
So what was your hiking outfit today?
Well, I don't have like good like workout clothes. I refuse to invest. I have
workout clothes.
Yeah. I wear like these incredible track pants actually that I love.
From?
Nike. I guess they're track pants.
What kind of hiking boots do you want?
I just need something with more sturdy, more support. Because right now I have like kind of like floppy Nikes from like the 20s.
I have some great ideas.
Okay, perfect. And then I just wear actually like a light windbreaker that invariably ends up tied around my waist. And a hat that, of course, isn't big enough to fully shade my face. It's like only my eyes, which like I also hat? Have to work on. Yeah.
Does this outfit get you jazzed up to hike? Or is it no? Do you think that you'd be more inclined to go on solo hikes if you had a hiking outfit?
Maybe. I actually had a really cute one once.
What was it?
What was cute about it was that I had like fun camp socks that were kind of on top of my leggings.
What's a camp sock?
Good question.
Like the marbleized.
Yeah, like exactly. And then I had this like great J. Crew fleece that I was debuting. And then I had a fanny pack, Patagonia fanny pack.
Oh, this sounds great.
And I just felt like I looked in the mirror and I was like, there she is.
Yeah.
Like that's somebody who hikes. And it was, and I had barely ever hiked.
I love that look.
But yeah, it's just like.
You don't want to think about it.
I don't want to overthink it.
I want you to.
Okay.
No. I'm kidding.
Send me a board.
Okay.
Because, but the hiking, it's time alone where you just kind of. Can't be on your phone, like it just doesn't make sense. And I think nature is my new thing because I really felt like something has clicked for me truly in the last year and a half where I was always like, oh yeah, outside, I get it, but part of me was always like looking at the trees going like, oh, it's amazing. Not or I was like I was like looking at nature and I was like, oh wow, I guess. Or I felt like everyone else was like having this like raw experience of nature and I was like, for sure. But instead I was like, I want to go to the Grove now.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't like I could appreciate it, but it didn't actually feel good to me. And now suddenly I'm like, oh, I actually like being outside. That's actually like actively good for me.
Now, how long was your first hike? No judgments. I'm just curious.
Hour and a half. Just because it's just like distance. It's
What did you think about? Did anything come up? Did you notice anything new that inspired you to do more hikes?
The first time I was not listening to music. I just was letting the white noise and like just looking.
Was it boring?
Well, that's what shocked me. No.
Okay.
Like I was like walking and then I was like, oh, I guess I could listen to music. But then it was actually like I didn't feel the urge.
Right. And so you were just thinking different thoughts and walking and it really
just
wasn't.
Thinking about my career. Yeah.
Right. But sort of like a meditation.
Mostly. Yeah. And then like things come up. Like that's what I feel like right now as I'm kind of like trying to be militant about like not just like going on social media just to like check in. It's like, oh, yeah, just like let your mind actually wander. Like that's where ideas come from.
Mm-hmm.
Ideas do not probably come from just endlessly consuming these images.
Right. Yeah.
And you can kind of think like, oh, yeah, well, that's like part of it. Like for me, I'm like, well, I'm, you know, I'm in media. Like I need to see what's out there. I need to see what the conversation's about. And I'm kind of like, actually, I kind of think I don't.
Right.
And I feel like so much like growing up, I still have kind of an embarrassing like there was so like so much comedy or so much stuff I just like haven't seen or never did see.
Like what?
I don't know. I just feel like a lot of like the great stuff. Like I'm always like, oops, forgot to see it.
Like Be Brave, say one.
Oh, like, okay. Like honestly, like SNL, like heyday SNL stuff. I just like kind of haven't seen.
Like the not ready for primetime players. It's so bad.
I saw Chris Farley. I had the Chris Farley DVD of SNL, which I loved.
Yeah.
So I devoured that.
Is that what you mean by heyday?
Is that kind of, that's kind no, of a heyday.
I don't know.
I just feel like people are reference like, honestly, Monty Python. I've like have Monty not Python seen. Monty
Python is for boys.
Yeah. God Let's bless you. Let's
first
yeah.
say that.
Yeah.
So is Caddyshack.
Oh, yeah.
And
I had to, I guess what? A boy came to my house in the seventh grade to watch Caddyshack and I had to pretend to like it. Totally. I just remembered.
It's the biggest, it's like one of the most number one
I just remember,
things we pretend to like so boys will like us.
You just completely flashed before my eyes. Watching it in my parents' bedroom on the floor with this boy, going to the bathroom, he's like all positive, like, don't worry about it, and just like looked staring at myself in like my parents' bathroom mirror. Just like, what am I gonna do?
Goes back to looking at ourselves in the mirror.
Yeah.
I think Chevy Chase in general is for boys.
Yeah.
And I frankly, I think Bill Murray is too.
Oh my God. Wow. That is it. Subversive. Careful. Careful.
It's not a diss.
No, I completely know what you're saying. This is a whole other podcast, which I would love to get into. It's just like,
what do we pretend to like?
Yeah. What do we pretend to like? What books
have we pretended to have read?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know mine.
All of them. Yeah.
The Heart is a Lonely Hunter by Carson McCullers.
Oh, sure.
I've lied about having read that many times.
Yeah.
But I feel like the lie makes for a brave statement and mm-hmm. I can always change it by reading it.
Yes.
But it is like a thing. Like that was more to impress like college students
yeah.
when I was in college and less about dudes.
Yeah.
But God, I didn't like Dinosaur Jr. until I was in my 30s.
Oh my God.
But I had to pretend to for yeah. so long.
And sometimes the pretending actually makes you like it.
Right.
Or like for example, like I do love Pavement.
Yeah.
But like I was like, of course there was like a cool boy who liked Pavement and I was like, for sure. And so then I started listening to Pavement, but then I actually really did I do love Pavement. but
I didn't like the Celtics until
yeah.
I went out with Greg Johnson.
You mean like the
team.
Sports team? Oh God.
I like got so into it because I was obsessed with
That's
him.
That's so funny. I don't know.
That's like a hobby.
Sports, I don't even.
Like getting into what your crush is on.
Oh, of course. Oh my God. The amount of fucking jazz I listened to.
Stop.
Jazz. Well, here's what's funny.
Wait, what?
There was a period, by the way, I do love jazz, but there was a period where I thought that if I played jazz, no one could touch me. Like if I had jazz playing, then no one could lay a finger
on
mean? My taste. I remember very specifically being at Bard College.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And something happening where like I was had people over like in my room and we were like smoking weed and hanging out. And I was like, what music am I going to play for these pretentious assholes? Right. Like, how am I going to show them? Also, I wanted a boyfriend. Right.
Uh-huh.
I was like, how am I going to get someone to like kiss me? Think I'm cool. Like, how's this going to happen? And so I put on jazz.
Oh my God.
And I remember specifically after like 2 hours of hanging out and like getting drunk with like, you know, 19 year olds.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this guy laying on my bed and being like, so you really like jazz? And then I was like frozen. I was like, yeah. And but also
do you really?
That did force me into now there is a lot of jazz I do love.
And that's cute. Yeah. But at the time, were you not really into it?
I think I just was like, oh, like Miles Davis, like Bitches Brew. Like that's like an important album. I'll play that. I was like, Pharoah Sanders is like a really cool. And I love Pharoah Sanders. But I was like, oh, yeah, that's like cool. And then that's like, I think maybe the only, that's like one of the best things probably about aging is that like you just are fundamentally less interested in being cool.
Right. And what other people think of what you like.
Yeah. That's like my hair is in a clip right now. And for me, that's a huge indication of maturity.
Yeah.
that my hair is up like this is such a sign that I've come a long way.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
What music, no holds barred,
yeah,
did you listen to on your hike today?
Oh, honestly, my like Discover Weekly.
Oh, did you discover anything?
Probably, but I just like liked it.
Are you like really into music?
I am into music, yeah. But don't ask me what I listen to.
No, that's fine. But like, do you go to see like bands?
It's something I used to do a lot and I got away from it and I want to start doing it more.
Honestly, you do?
I really appreciate you saying that because as soon as you said that, I was like, no.
No.
And I went to a lot of shows because it was like, I wanted to like make out.
Right. Yeah.
And so like you go because you're like, oh, like there's going to be like interesting guys here.
Yeah, of course.
And you want to like dress up and like whatever. Yeah. But there is something about when that leaves and I still do enjoy seeing music and I do see music with my partner. Mm. But I am also like, I'm phobic about like, oh my God. So we have to wait in a 6-hour line. You have to get there 45 hours in advance. There's no water.
And I'm not, I can't even believe that you would go as far as to say you enjoy seeing music live. I don't.
This is why you're just the coolest. Honestly, you just really are.
It's so boring.
In comedy, you do a lot of festivals, right? And you invariably do music. I think I said, this is my second time saying invariably in this podcast.
I didn't notice.
But you do music festivals. And I have seen good music. Okay, who have I seen live that was great? Rihanna live was unbelievable.
Yeah, that
actually, Rihanna
fun.
Is actually how you heard. This is the correct pronunciation.
Rihanna?
It's Rihanna.
Oh.
Anyway, Rihanna was amazing.
Did you have seats or did you stand?
I had a freak thing where I was invited by like a fancy friend. So I had like wild box seats, whatever.
Yeah, that's the only way to do it. VIP.
Yeah. And then I saw Kanye and it was
awesome.
Amazing show.
Also sitting?
I was on like general admission on the floor and he was on the platform.
Right. Did you
above
have
us.
To stand?
I was standing.
I saw Kanye once.
Yeah.
And it was like at a little like hole in the wall before he was big.
Wow.
JK. But it was early in his career and it was kind of like a secret show or something. And I went with my friend Jen and it was awesome and fun, but we had to stand for a long time before he went on.
Well, that's the thing. I just saw John Mouse, who was like my big celeb crush.
Who's that?
He's like, John Mouse, he's like a...
Is he a DJ?
No. He's like an electronic...
Oh.
It's like just him and he just like jumps up and down and he's like incredibly hot. And
okay.
And like an academic, like kind of a wild intellectual.
Oh.
Truly like a comedic influence. I'm actually realizing because I used to watch videos of him and he would just like be ranting about like
he's been around
the
forever?
Nature of pop music. Forever, no. He's like with like Ariel Pink, kind of like guys. But he's very special. But I went to go see him live recently. He had some great openers. Of course, now the names won't come. Lunch Lady was one of them. But I had to stand because of course
and
the show starts at 8. He's
a
on
lot
at
of people.
11:30.
It's nonsense. I want to get back to talking about stuff that we do
Yes.
But seeing live music was probably a hobby of mine as well when I was younger. And now I just don't.
I totally hear you.
I don't have the feet for it.
That's so funny. I am seeing Robin in a few weeks, which
it's
I'm excited
fun.
About.
I know one song.
But here's one thing to say. I know, honestly, not much either. Here's what I'll say. This is a true indication. Yesterday, like a friend was posting this band, great band. I was like, that'll be a fun show. And I'll like buy two tickets. I'll take a friend. Like that'll be worth seeing. I went to Ticketfly or whatever. I was all prepared to check out and there was like a problem with my card or like it wouldn't do it. And I just abandoned. And that's how you know
Ticketfly,
that you don't really need it.
I'm going to say this right now. Ticketfly, getting tickets online is broken.
Yeah.
Timing this podcast. I don't want to go into a huge thing about it, but Bikini Kill is doing a reunion show.
I know.
They're my favorite band.
Yes. So that you're going to go to.
Yes.
I actually thought of you. Yeah.
But... In order for me to get tickets, I set a timer.
Yeah.
Tickets went on sale, like, I don't remember, like 9 a.m., 10
a.m. Well, I checked and they were sold out, but I was like, oh, are there more? Yeah.
I went on. As soon as they went on sale, the ticket thing, Fly, wouldn't work. And it was sold out in 3 minutes. And I'm like, the internet has ruined seeing live music because scalpers buy those tickets and then charge $200 a ticket. Bikini Kill isn't getting that money. They're just getting the $40.
There has to be a better way.
So then they added more shows and they gave like a code to people, to fans, so that they can get tickets before they actually go on sale. Well, I have an extra ticket, I think, that you can give to you.
I would love to go to that show.
It just
desperately.
I don't know. I was so frustrated that I was like, I don't even know if I'm going to see Bikini Kill now. Scalpers ruin the scene.
Yeah. If you're a scalper and you're listening to this,
I hope you fucking can't buy tickets one day.
Yeah. And then you see.
And then you really know how it feels.
But rapid fire hobbies. Yeah. The hiking.
Okay. So the hiking.
The Grove, Erewhon. Wait,
before you started hiking 2 weeks ago, would you say cooking?
I can hardly even remember 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Yeah. I do love to cook.
Every day do you cook?
Pretty much.
Really?
And not like, oh, I'm making elaborate tagines every day.
Right.
But like.
How come you like it?
Just the raw interaction with produce.
I'm curious because I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it so much.
Yeah.
That it's a problem.
Right. It actually does bring me tremendous pleasure. And everything I'm going to say just sounds so obvious, but like, it's meditative. Like, it truly is. Like, I really like chopping and I like vegetables are pretty. Like, I just, it really feels nice to do.
Do you listen to music when you cook?
I'll listen to music or I'll listen to literally the Goop podcast. Sorry.
What do they talk about on Goop? Just like
things. It is wild how many of the Goop podcasts I've listened to. So sometimes, and by the way, it's not Gwyneth interviewing. Sometimes it is. And those ones are like, oof. But it's her chief content officer. I believe her name is Elise Noonan. Mm-hmm. She'll interview like different doctors or like relationship like therapists and stuff. And some of them are really good. You know, it's like everyone from like Esther Perel is on it to like someone who's like, here's why you shouldn't eat short grain rice or whatever. And I'm on the edge of my seat.
Really? I could care less about.
That's a hobby for me. I do.
Right. You care about food and and healthy things.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
I'm into that. I love this. I'm like, ooh, lectins, like something toxic and like nightshades.
I'm interested in poison, but more of like how people have used it to kill people in history. I only listen to true crime podcasts.
I need some more recommendations, actually.
I only watch murdery things.
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
But I wish that I could find like the meditative aspect of cooking. I find it to be messy, boring, tiring.
Yeah.
Not knowing what I'm doing. And so am I cutting this right?
Right.
Is this too much? Is this too little? I don't like wasting food. It's a Jewish thing. It's not an environmental thing. Yeah. I wish I could say that it was, but it's a Jewish thing. And I...
What do you make?
Nothing, because I hate it so much.
Right.
But I guess when I do make... Like, I'll start with something simple that you probably make a lot, which is like a salad.
Yeah.
I don't believe that like anyone's ever finished a salad. It's like you take 20 bites and you haven't made a dent in the salad. Like there's always so much salad and they're so hard and awkward to eat.
Are you adding like, because I love to do a salad, but I'll like roast up some vegetables, throw that in there. Some seeds.
Yeah, they fall to the bottom. Roasting is like
That's true. I'm a roaster. I'm roasting every day.
It just almost sounds so boring.
I know.
I hate
talking
about
food. Well, sometimes it does feel very
food.
Tedious. You have such a one of the most renowned and interesting relationships with food, though.
I know, but it almost is problematic for me because I would rather not think about it. And then I'm just really hungry and I get crazy and I get anxious.
I can't be hungry.
It's very, very uncomfortable.
I have like snacks in my purse right now. I'm one of those people that just can't be hungry. Trust me, I tried to starve myself in high school and I just was like, I can't do this.
But snacking is also like I'll bring snacks in my purse all the time and I have snacks in the car and like I have to, but it's not enough. Like I need to eat more square meals. And I also have a mouth to feed.
Right.
And I want her to eat well and healthy. And it's just that's so stressful. Boring that I don't even want
but
to
also,
talk about
it
this.
But also, you do not need to care about cooking. Like, that's completely fine. Like, don't have any, you shouldn't feel shame or guilt about, like, not being interested in food and not cooking and not wanting to. Like, that's completely fine. Completely fine.
I wish I had that thing that so many people I know have. Like, making something. Like Chelsea's like, oh, I just made this quiche. I'm eating these like mashed potatoes with roasted potatoes, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you roasted something? Doesn't that take like 8 hours?
Yes, but you walk away.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, it could be, and I'm sorry, but maybe, do you have a slow cooker?
Mm-hmm. A crock pot?
I don't really use a slow cooker. I have one. I've used it a couple of times, but that's a like easy way to like touch a button and like walk away, and not think about it. And then you have
like 20 years worth of stew. Like what even is stew? Anyway, I'm sorry. I know that this is your hobby and I get so anxious because I do feel shame or I do feel like I'm missing something that I wish it would be so convenient and helpful for me in my life. If I was into it, it would fill a void.
Mm-hmm.
That I feel by like vaping.
Right. But you also, you paint, you make things like that's
right. It's so self-centered.
That is part of it though. Like, but the cooking stuff, I don't know. I hear you because I have friends that like could not care less about cooking. They're like, it's a waste of time. It's messy. I'm like, I get it.
Does Andy like it too?
I'm forcing him to start cooking. Cause I actually want to cook with you. Like I don't, cause naturally I just end up being
but
the
what
one
if he
who's
doesn't
cooking.
Like it?
No, but he kind of does.
You don't want it. One of your hobbies is not being alone, and you don't want it. And
that's
you don't
true.
Want to do it
but
alone.
But it's different. But I'm not interested in like gender division of labor, and like I don't want to be like the one who's like always the one cooking.
Right, but if you're forcing him to like it,
no, but he does. Okay, drop it. No. I'll be like, because I am controlling in the kitchen, so I'll be like, chop this yam, cube it. And I'll teach him how to cube it. And then guess what? He cubes it. And I'm like, great. Now I don't have to do that. It's helpful. But because I love cooking. So I'll cook. And then he does all the cleanup. And that, for me, that's so fair. Because I'm like, do the dishes.
Yeah. No, all of this is fair. But if you're I'm asking him to cube it, I don't have to do it. But don't you like doing it?
It's not like I'm always making him do it. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I'm like, let's make a chermoula together.
What's that?
It's a North African pesto. I'm so glad you asked. But it's really easy. And I mean, truly, I'll just tell you right now, get out your food processor, handful of cilantro, handful of parsley, olive oil, cumin, paprika, salt. Here's like the fancy things. You put in like half a preserved lemon, you know? Mm-hmm. And then
where do you get a preserved lemon?
Cookbook. Or Gelson's. Gelson's.
Okay.
Or Whole Foods, anywhere.
Whole Foods couldn't be further from anybody.
I know. You can find it. Okay. I promise. And then you just pulse that up and it makes this like really nice kind of pesto. Pulse it in your food processor. And then you can pour that over a fish, wrap it up in parchment paper, put it in the oven. 13 minutes later.
Uh-huh.
Dinner.
A fish. How do you I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, yeah.
It's not you. It's me. I'm getting stressed. Like, okay, so now how do I do the fish? I broil it. I put it in the broiler.
Mm-mm. Just in the oven.
Like, what do you do with the eyeball part?
No. This isn't a full fish. It's like a cut. I haven't graduated to like brand new.
I'm also scared to go up to the counter to ask the person behind the counter at the butchery.
Oh, terrifying.
Right. Like a quarter pound of.
Oh, it's
what
so scary.
What is that?
I was recently talking about this. I've humiliated myself. The other day I went to McCall's. Sorry to be so local, but I truly panicked because I asked someone. I was like, oh, is this fish? I forgot. What was it? Oh, it's actually, I was asking about their eggs, if they were pasture raised, because I try to only consume pasture raised eggs. Uh-huh. And he was like, oh, you know what? I think they are. I'm going to go check for you. Also, because I just was curious about price comparison. I was like, well, these are, you know, this price. They better be pasture raised, honestly. I'm not going to buy them if they're not. And then it was taking too long, whatever. And I was like, I'm just going to buy them. And I was like, I don't know what to call. So I was like, oh, your colleague was going to check on these. I called him his colleague at the butcher. And it was so.
Well, that's nice.
I think it was fine.
Coworker.
But I was like, oh, your colleague was in the back.
I know that is such an anxiety-inducing situation. I left. Your kind sir friend. Like, I have no idea.
And at that butcher, like, everyone's hot.
Right. I know. It's another reason why I'm scared to go in there.
I know. I'm like, why are you being mean?
At Cookbook, I like have to go in wearing like overalls, clogs, and a straw hat, and like my own tote bag. So they like think I know that I'm like,
I'm there for 3 hours.
I'm here for the celery. Yeah. I'm there for I love the lasagna. Cookbook.
I'm there every day.
I'm there for the pre-made things. But like, I'll gander like a lemon and like so that they think I belong.
One time, not to brag, this is a huge brag. When I started going to Cookbook, one time I went up there with my basket. And she literally, the woman at the checkout, she was like, wow, what a cool, she's like, what a cool assortment of things.
Oh my God.
And I'm not kidding. I was like, I will now donate $10,000 to you. Like, I was like, I hereby swear to be here spending $70 every 3 hours for 10 years.
That is like a brag. That's it like was such a major
It was incredible.
Moment.
And then, I have one more cookbook brag, which is that it was like the day before Thanksgiving. And the line was insane, understandably. And all I wanted was a couple flowers. And the woman saw me and she was like, is that what you're getting? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, I owe you. She was like, just pay next time. And I was like, is this a small country town? Do I live in a village? Am I a villager?
That is the coolest moment ever because people probably thought you were friends with her.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah. She's like, oh, just I owe you. I was like,
that's so cool.
But that's the thing about cooking is that also it's like it saving money.
Well, I was doing like a food delivery thing that just went out of business. And
what was it called?
Munchery.com. It was amazing. And they just.
Munchery?
They saved my life. Why is that for the past year.
Really?
And great. They just folded.
Why did they fold?
I don't know. I guess they didn't have enough money.
It was like individual meals or like for three people or whatever. I don't know how it
individual
works.
Meals, drinks, desserts, snacks. Wow. It was great. Wow. Great food.
Great.
But now they went out You'll of business and my one, whole I'm life sure. has changed. So what else are you interested in besides cooking and hiking?
The mall.
Like the Grove?
Yeah. I, for whatever reason, if I'm stressed out, like I'll just go to the Grove.
Yeah.
And here's what's the worst part. I think it makes me more anxious. But I still can't tear myself away. And so Erewhon, this is like adjacent to cooking.
Right.
But like Erewhon does something to me. I can easily like lose an hour just looking at different like brands of like millet or whatever.
Right.
And it really feels soothing to me. Like I am a consumer. It's like awful. You know, like
why?
It's, or you know what I mean? It's like I like supermarkets. I like grocery stores. Like I really like that. Of course, sometimes I'm like, God damn it, I have to go to the grocery store. But like, I like it.
Right.
Like, I love being like, look at this market.
I totally identify with that. If I go someplace to peruse and not shop, I'm very at peace and mesmerized and in the beauty of just like looking at products.
Yeah.
And I love buying things.
Yeah.
But I have a very, very hard time shopping because I get really overwhelmed.
I hate shopping.
I have meltdowns in supermarkets. I have to eat.
Oh, supermarkets, yeah.
I'm a clothes horse.
Yeah. See, I hate shopping
even
for clothes.
Even for clothes stresses me out now.
Really?
Because it's very overwhelming. Especially a place that has a lot of stuff. I have to eat a full meal before I go.
Oh, of course.
That's number one. And you know that that's like, you need, as like, I said, potatoes. A struggle for me. Yeah. I need like pasta, potatoes.
Heavy starches.
And coffee. And to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I prefer no one to be with me.
Oh, interesting.
Sometimes I can go with a friend and it's really fun. Where and I'm talking go? About all general kinds of shopping. I mean, the supermarket.
Where do you go for clothes?
Well, I also have that same thing where like the mall. I can sometimes like zone out and just like have a nice time at the mall. So I'll go to like Zara or H&M. And then I really like Squaresville.
Mm-hmm. I just picked up a check from there because I commissioned Or consigned a couple things.
Yeah. I like Painted Bird. I have like a lot painted of vintage. Painted Bird
is cute.
Yeah.
And then it's cheap.
It's cheap. Affordable. I like recycled clothes. So I like consignments and vintage.
Same.
Because it is, not only is it cool, I think, but also it's better for the environment.
I gave up Zara last year.
It's so smart.
I gave up Topshop and Zara. I haven't set foot in a Topshop or a Zara in over a year.
I've definitely gotten.
Not to brag.
No, that's really good. My Zara, I don't do that much Zara for myself anymore, but like the kid stuff.
Oh yeah.
I really try not to.
Yeah.
Kid stuff should all be secondhand.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
The biggest waste.
You mean cuz they grow out of it in 4 seconds?
In 4 seconds, yeah. There is so much of it and it's actual garbage.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a cute top that is just going into landfill. That's how I feel about like a lot lately, little things, people, stocking stuffers and like little tchotchkes and whatever. And I'm not even like, environmentalism isn't a hobby, but maybe it will be.
You're interested in poison and trash.
Yeah.
But no, but the trash thing is totally real. I also find myself like more just like, like the waste of just being alive is like oppressive at times. Just like Jesus Christ, like just the amount of of trash. And
I don't mind going shopping with other people, but I get a little anxious when like they're done looking first.
Oh no, that's terrible. You can't have that.
And it's okay if the person is able to self-entertain and doesn't mind, but I like to go at my own pace and I don't like to have a codependent relationship. But the supermarket and food stores, like, I mean, even though like the Silver Lake Gelson's is like the Max Fish
of I know.
LA.
I don't really go there much. Also, it's just so expensive.
It's not
the Max Fish. That's so funny. No, but Gelson's.
It's not depressing.
No. There's a sweet kind of like neighborhood feeling.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, I want to save money and go to Albertsons, but it's so, or Vaughn's, which is less depressing, but they're so depressing. Flea markets also overwhelm me. And I love a flea.
I know. Well, not to brag, but actually I've been going to the farmer's market on Sundays in Hollywood.
Like waking up.
That's my new life.
You wake up like mad early.
I wake up at 4. No, I go at 10:30, 11.
In Hollywood? But what about the one that's right here in Vermont?
Well, the one that's in Silver Lake is right by my house, but it's just they don't have a lot. And I love going on Sundays and getting stuff for the week.
That's cool. What else do you do? You like food, looking at food, preparing food.
Yeah.
Do you like watching comedy?
No.
You don't?
Watching comedy?
Or like, I don't know, are you like interested in comedy?
It's hard for me to... I guess I watch comedy. Do you mean like live comedy or just mean like movies and TV and stuff?
In general, like as someone who enjoys laughing.
Yeah.
And I guess one would say that I'm a comedy writer, even though I think it's like dark comedy. I don't ever really.
I don't know. Watching like comedy shows.
Watch
or,
comedy stuff.
I don't.
Or listen. And I just am curious if other people do, especially comedians.
I don't.
I also think that one of your hobbies is skincare.
Mm-hmm.
Which one time we were having a conversation with a friend.
So fun.
And this is a specific moment where it was 3 women. We were talking about our skin. And this girl who we're friends with and we love. And she was like, I feel like this is such a cliche topic for women to talk about. Like she felt.
And you and I both
so
got
guilty.
Very defensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, and I know that like we're winding it down and we only have 4 minutes left, but I don't think we should be ashamed of the stuff that we're into, especially if it's cliche, like
I, sometimes whatever. It's like, I relate to like fucking Joan Crawford, like dunking her face in ice water.
Yeah.
Like every morning. I'm like, there's like
what
kind
were you
of,
smiling
a,
at?
I was going to say like, I guess you call like internalized misogyny, but this like need to distance yourself from those concerns or like,
right.
Or like, I feel like the way that great gal was like her judgment about us talking about like sharing like, oh, I like this skin.
It's like
this cleanser or whatever. It's like,
right.
No, it's fine. And also like, it's just a very real part of being like a femme presenting like woman is like, you're fucking interested in serums.
Right, or just a person who likes who cares what their face looks like and wants to take care of themselves. Yeah. Like for me to like worry so much about whether it's cliche or not, or we should be talking about something that has more depth. It's like, well, now I just feel ashamed. Yeah. And that's exactly what I'm fighting against as a woman, is yeah. to like not feel ashamed about anything that I talk about, be it shallow Barbie dolls, lipstick, yeah. what fucking ever. And to think about comparing it to what dudes think about or talk about is giving away my feminist power to them.
Well, totally. It's also suggesting that what men are talking about or concerned with is inherently more
right and
substantial. Or and it's like men literally don't have friends.
Right.
Men like don't have friendships. They don't care about their bodies.
They tell us. They don't know what Monty lotion. Python. Yeah. They're actually talking about like E.T.
They don't know what lotion is.
Or like Star Wars.
They don't know what anything is. No. Because women are like, brush your teeth. This is lotion. Go tell your friend that you're sad.
Right. This is cough medicine.
Maybe you should go like walk around the block or whatever. Right. Like women are the caretakers.
They're the reason for everything.
Yeah. But I'm just like, no, women like typically in like heterosexual relationships.
Beyonce said it best. Who run the world? Girls.
Yeah. Squirrels.
Squirrels. but it's true. And I like that you're interested in skincare also. Oh, not only because your skin is gorgeous.
Oh, my God.
It is, but it's inspiring. And I don't know, just throwing that out there as one of your interests.
Oh, I love talking about. Here's a hobby. I've been loving watching old Martha Stewart, like Martha Stewart Living.
Hmm.
Oh, my God. It's so soothing. And I got her first book. It's called Entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my main hobby. That's my number one hobby.
So interesting.
But like I love, and that is absolutely like my mother's influence, because my mom,
Amanda, loves that too.
Is an amazing cook, an amazing like dinner party, like throws the best dinner parties, like hosting. And that, I love that. And that,
you don't
to
do
me
it that
is,
much.
I know.
Unless I'm not invited.
You're not invited. Yeah. Well, I, you know, I don't have the space, but
you
but
do
I
have
need
a great
to.
Space.
Thank you. No, I love my space. No, but I don't do like dinner. Like that's something, because it is a lot of work.
Right.
Like, and dinner parties, like we've like, I guess recently we've had maybe, but it's like one couple or like two couples.
Right.
It's not like, oh, here are 10 people.
Right. Right.
Like I'm starting small, right. But I love that. And like Martha Stewart's first book, Entertaining, is just wild, and I love looking
so
at it.
So what does she say aside from like, this is what we're cooking or whatever, you know? Like,
well, it's a relic of a certain era, absolutely. And it's like super like a relic of a certain class, because it's just like,
right.
But I love like the that kind of like painstaking attention to detail, and this idea of, as she says, like, if you're having this kind of a party, maybe go to your local nursery and see if you can rent certain plants. Like, you don't have to buy them. You can just have, you know, it's like stuff like that. It's like, oh, wow. And like environment and like homemaking, like that's that cool. To me is really, and like homemaking or making a space that's like aesthetic is such a highly feminized, considered almost frivolous, right, kind of concern. And I'm like, no, that is like the highest art of life, is like making your environment like beautiful safe. And inviting and like safe and like feeding people and like having like giving experiences to people
safe for your family, friends, and community. I mean, it's like, you know, in the Ten Commandments.
Ooh.
Like, love thy neighbor.
Been meaning to read that.
But that is really nice, and I do think
that's what I want to master.
Do you have a hobby that you wish you could have, like do you have like a fantasy hobby?
Exercise.
Right.
I have never in my life been able to attach to exercise. That's why I'm also kind of excited about the hiking thing, because I'm like, this is exercise.
Right.
I'm not pouring sweat. It's not like, but I've never found something that I can do. I feel like I am secretly athletic.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, that's the thing that, like, that's my, like what you talk about cooking, that's what I have people that work out. People that are like, oh, well, I worked out. I'm like, so you had 6 extra hours?
You needed
an hour to get there, an hour to get back, an hour to work out. Then you have to shower. You have to do laundry.
Oh.
I was like, you're waking up at 5?
Right.
What the hell are you talking about?
Right.
I do get like, and I do feel like I'm being like left out. Like everyone's in on this like secret life. And I'm like, how do you work out?
Right. And like the other people at the gym, like, are you friends with them? Because like, I remember like there was a period of time in New York where I was like, I'm signing up for Crunch.
I went to Dolphin, which is a gym for taxicab drivers. It's called Dolphin. I know. Dolphin. Do you know Dolphin?
It was because it was on Ludlow, wasn't it?
It was right by there, yeah. And
there was like a few dolphins.
And after like 2 weeks, someone was like, why the hell do you go to Dolphin?
And it was like I was in a basement on a treadmill watching TV with no windows. And I was like, I gotta go.
I was at Dolphin. It was like $100 a year. It was like the cheapest gym. I was like, this is perfect for me. You got a free training session. And I'm not kidding you. The trainer told me I was obese. By the way, I was maybe 10 pounds heavier than I am now, but I certainly was not obese. And he literally was like, I'll never forget. He goes, well, technically you are obese. And I laughed. I laughed. I was like, I mean, I know I've like could stand to lose a couple, I guess, but I mean, I was like, come on, I'm not obese. He was like, technically you are.
That's so not true.
And then I still let him like stretch me out.
Yeah, there was like at Crunch, I just remember it being like going in to Crunch. So there are those bars that you have to go through the turnstile. There's a turnstile.
Oh, yeah.
And like
at Oster?
I think so. There was something like if I didn't have the right thing, then like something would beep or like I couldn't get past the turnstile. And it was so anxiety inducing because if you bump against the turnstile in general, it's so embarrassing. Yes. But like, everyone there just was so, it was like they were all friends with each other. It felt like everyone knew each other except for me. And then there was like giant yoga balls and like people knowing what to do on a giant yoga ball.
Knowing what to do is so stressful. And like, that's why it's like, I will never belong to a gym. Like I actually, once after, like I was like in my early 20s, I was like, you know, classic breakup. I was like, I'm like going to join a gym. Like, fuck it. I'm just going to do it. And so I was working at this place and the Equinox was nearby. So I joined and I went like a lot for 2 months. And then I was like, oh, I hate this.
Yeah.
And Equinox makes it so that it makes it impossible to break out of your contract. Yeah. So it's one of my proudest moments, what I did to break out of it. So they're like, you can only break out of it if you doctor, like, you know, proof of injury or like relocation of a job somewhere where there's no Equinox. And I was like, that's my excuse. So I called them and I was like, I'm gonna have to break my contract. And and they were like, okay, what's going on? And I was like, well, I'm going to live at sea. I was like, I'm gonna be living on a boat. And they were like, what do you mean? I was like, it's plain language. I'm going to live at sea so I can no longer. And they were like, okay, well, we're gonna need like a letter of employment or like some kind of, and I was like, I don't have that. I was like, and they were like, okay, well, about your mail. I was like, well, it's the ocean. I'm going to be on a boat, so I'm not going to be receiving mail. And they couldn't prove that I was lying. Yeah. And they broke my contract.
That's so smart. Everyone who's listening to this, take note.
Take it.
Gyms in your face.
Just say, loophole I'm living alert. In the ocean. I want to write a book about loopholes.
Yes.
Because I have some others that I honestly don't want to go public with.
Okay.
I guess I'm a scammer. That's I a love hobby. Scams. I'm good with scams.
Oh, we're going to have a part two.
But I don't scam. I love scamming. But I just want to say for the record, I do not scam small businesses. Mm-hmm. I do not scam individuals. I scam corporations with pleasure.
I think that that's like a whole, I'm so upset that we're just bringing that up now.
You're going to have to, I'm going to have a subscription service. People need to pay for my scams because they're good. Oh my God, my travel scams.
Can we have another one? Can we do Kate Berland part two?
Of course.
You're ready, you're willing. I understand if you don't want. No, you don't have
Here's
to
Here's a micro
share
scam.
These things. Okay. Just give us one more and then we'll be out.
Okay. Well, I recently booked, and I guess you could call this a small business, but here's the thing. Okay. I booked a night away for me and my sweetheart, right? Mm-hmm. The hotel. And this hotel, they're not short of business. Okay.
Right.
They've got people coming. So they had a 8-day cancellation policy where if you had to cancel within 8 days, you had to pay for a full one night of a stay. It's expensive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's ridiculous. So one thing led to another. I knew I was going to have to cancel. Literally my boyfriend got sick like 2 days before, whatever. The point is. And they were like, well, unfortunately, we do have to charge you full. This was actually like 3 calendar days before the reservation.
Right.
So what I did was I moved the reservation a month out. I was like, how about the same date, the following month? And they were like, yep. Then I canceled.
Oh, my God.
Like the next week, waited it out. It's like it never happened.
Let's.
Is that not a good scam?
Respect that gangster with a moment of silence. That's so. Thank you for that.
I'm going to tell you a scam after we stop recording.
Okay. Sorry, suckers. If you guys want to call in to and tell me about your hobbies, you can call 1-800-FILLING-THE-VOID. JK. That's not a thing. I just wanted to say it. But don't you wish it were a thing?
I do.
I don't know. This is the end of the podcast.
So this was so great.
Thanks for listening.
I could talk to you for 16 hours.
And we will.
Great. Maybe CateBerlant.com.
We'll yeah, I was just going to say. CateBerlant.com.
I don't update it. It's almost worthless. But check it out.
Want to talk to Leslie about how you fill your void? Call us toll-free at 844-370-VOID or email at fillthevoidpod@gmail.com. Filling the Void is produced by Erios with special help from Kat Hong and music by Michael Cassidy. Never miss an episode by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Don't want to feel another time. How do you do vibrato?
Don't want to start another fire.
You do have a good voice. I'll let another day be
there. Erios.
Powered by Acast.